This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Takeaway culture reporter Melissa Locker surprised us recently by stepping off her normal, highly wired planet of data networks and Bluetooth speakers, infinite downloads of music and entertainment, and shuffled off to a place full of music and culture, but only primitive cell and Wi-Fi service, Cuba. We were a little worried for a while that Melissa might start to turn blue from lack of cultural oxygen, but not to worry. She took to Cuba's mid-to-low-tech digital scene by seeking out the big DJ himself. The late Fidel Castro made sure Cuba's music scene was part of his revolution, and the musicians of Cuba did the rest.
He would use music to really kind of continue his message of being a revolutionary. He was organizing concerts, and he would sponsor artists, and some of the music that they came up with was really good, even if you don't necessarily agree with the message.
Y apretarlas en la mano y seguir andando con ellas.
Por la vida, that's the name of the song, is very famous in Cuba. It's very different from the mambo tradition which preceded Castro and really just represents the stripped-down, almost folk style that really began the sort of new ethos of Cuba under Fidel.
Right. It was about kind of the message almost as much as about the music. And that slowly started to change a little bit. Like later on after the revolution and kind of post-revolution Cuba, there was something called a Nueva Trova, which was led by Silvio Rodriguez and a guy named Pablo Milanes. And their music was beautiful. It was protest music, but kind of that Cuban protest music where they're protesting kind of the rest of the world. But then also, you know, sometimes pointing out problems within Cuba itself. In about 2008, Pablo Milanes kind of torched this group called Los Aldeanos, which was one of the first groups to really show the rise of Cuban hip-hop. And if you haven't heard Cuban hip-hop, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Los años no engañan, el tiempo puede estar bravo, que yo sigo siendo yo, yo a los falsos casos no hago, yo trabajo diariamente, no soy creyente ni vago, ni me...
So is this post-Soviet collapse or right at the edge?
Los Aldeanos came out much later, like around 2007, 2008. But the interesting thing about them is that even as far as, like, I think like 2014, the U.S. government was still trying to foment discord in Cuba. And the way they decided to do that in the more modern era was by sort of co-opting hip-hop music. USAID came in and started working with Los Aldeanos to try and get them to spread seeds of discontent and sort of use their music as a way of uprising against Fidel. So while hip-hop culture was also rising, there was also this kind of music called cubitón, which was a Cuban version of reggaeton, which is reggae-inspired with a really good beat, and it's so much fun to listen to. And one of the few Cuban crossovers is a band called Gente de Zona. Part of their acclaim because Enrique Iglesias featured them on one of their tracks, and it's a track that was played everywhere around the world.
How does this music get shared? I mean, this is all stuff that you found not downloaded, not streamed. This is stuff that you got basically hand-to-hand.
A lot of times there was these, they would basically hand USB drives back and forth. And they would hand, like, PDFs of magazines, or there'd be mixtapes, or there'd be, you know, DVDs.
A 1956 Chevy plus a DVD drive plus an old floppy disk. I just love Cuba. The story of Huichi de Vedado is a great story in that it's low-tech, high-tech at the same time.
Right. So Huichi de Vedado is this amazing electronic artist. He's one of the first to really kind of combine Cuban music and Cuban rhythms with electronic music. But when he started, he actually couldn't afford any of the equipment because Cuba's not one of those places where you can just go down and like plunk down your credit card and buy the laptops and synthesizers that you want. So he really had to patchwork everything together to be able to create the music that was really inside of him. And so listening to his music now is so much fun because you get to kind of understand where he started and see where he's going now.
Melissa, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Melissa Locker is culture reporter for Time, The Guardian, and, of course, The Takeaway.